You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, as sawmills in northern BC continue to be shuttered, a local mill has become the latest casualty. Seton Forest Products, which operated a Kant mill just west of Whitsett, was put up for sale back in September after shutting its doors due to difficulties securing wood fiber for the mill. Cants are basically a log that has been squared on all sides. In Seton's case, they were using what is usually referred to as decatent wood, logs that are not utilized by conventional sawmills, or wood that would otherwise be burned in the bush. The operation provided a value-added product, which is rarely seen in the forest industry these days, as well as dozens of jobs for local communities for years. After they were denied a timber license last year, the owners decided to put the Seton Mill up for sale. Today, we speak with Andy Thompson, co-owner of Seton Forest Products, about their struggles to secure a long-term timber license and why they decided to close up shop. Stay tuned. Andy, first I just want to ask you, why did you feel that you needed to shut down the Seton Mill and put it up for sale?
Yeah, no, we had to put it up for sale. Back in August, September of last year, because, the markets are so terrible and losing money, just like all the other mills around. We put it up for sale.
I remember the last time we spoke, Andy, you mentioned that you were having difficulties finding fiber at one point, but that seemed to have flattened out. Tell me more about what were some of the difficulties you're having.
Yeah, no, that kind of solved itself. We were able to find fiber the last few years that we were running. Some of it was overpriced, because we didn't have a license. I kept applying for a license, but it was not given one, or was not able to get one. But we got over that. But then in the last year or so that we were running, the prices were just so that we're selling our product at was just such so low that we were running at a loss for the last year, basically. And, all mills were, all Canfors, West Fraser's, everybody just losing massive amounts of money, just trying to keep running and keep their employees running. And we were no different, and that's what happened. So there we are.
Why do you think that is? Was there any help from the federal or provincial governments during all this time?
There was a little bit of help from the provincial government. There's a FES funding that's called Forest Enhancement Society. They offered funding to bring logs into the mill from a further distance. So that if it was, the trucking was really, really expensive because they're so far away, they offered subsidy for that. But it didn't matter because the prices, the economy was such that nobody was buying lumber. The American market, the American housing starts were in the toilet. The Canadian housing starts are nil. They're a tenth of what the United States are. So the whole lumber economy in the world is just floating along at a very minimum. There's been 22 mills closed in BC and, just gone, like Canfor in Houston, because there's just no market. Not until the economy improves. Anyway, that's the way I see it.
Yeah. I know that what you guys were doing there at Seton was a bit more specialized, value-added type business. I remember chatting with you the last time about, taking a lot of the decadent wood, stuff that would be usually burnt in the forest and turned into the cants and shipped overseas. Do you think there would be any sort of way to revive that type of thing, knowing that it did employ, quite a number of people locally and also was a value-added product that we don't see very often?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, there was the market is just finally starting to come back for my product. for the cants, the dry cants. And right now they were if I were able to run right now, they would go to China. And they're paying, you know, a decent enough dollar that I could run at a profit. It's slowly coming back. But again, you know, I would need fiber security. I would need that license. We did apply for it several times. We actually tried to partner up with the First Nations, and that way we weren't given much. The NDP government here tried to help us last summer, but it got turned down by the OW. The OW had to have their final stamp of approval on it. I had a verbal agreement with WITSAT, but OW turned it down, and we could have had that license. We could have got fiber at a really good price and probably been up and running, but the OW turned that down. So yeah, I just kind of gave up and I put it up for sale.
Yeah.
The hell with it.
Do you know why that was? If WITSAT was signing on, but the OW did not?
The way it was explained to me, the OW doesn't want any business. That's what I was kind of led to believe. Yeah, I kind of had I had the chief out there. What's his name, Christine?
Oh, Elgin.
Elgin Cutler. He and I have kind of a verbal agreement, and yeah, let's go after this license. We'll partner up. We'll build houses, timber frame houses, and like the one we have out the front. Yeah, he was all excited about that. But then, I got the MLA involved and went as far as sending a letter to Bruce Ralston. Everybody was keen about it, but they had to get approval from the OW, and the OW just said no. But that's what happened, I think, then. But there we are. So, yeah. And we just lost so much money, we have to sell. So, and there is somebody looking at us to buy us, so all's not lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they might do the same thing. Then we're going to do the same kind of business model, I think. So,
yeah, because I remember it was such a positive story that we're seeing, you know, value added product. You know, I even spoke with John Brink a little while ago, and he was talking the same idea, you know, wanting to create more value added products, that there is a market for it, that he thinks that the economy could support that. But it sounds like, you know, trying to get the approvals and also the timber, make sure, as you mentioned, have the timber security seems to be the issue. You know, what's your thought on how could this have gone better to make sure that to secure that wood fiber?
Well, how it could have gone is there is an available forest license here in the Bulkley Timber Supply area. And it's called the marginal sawlog license. It used to be called the opportunity license. West Fraser had it, PIR had it for years and years. And they didn't use it because they didn't have a pellet plant beside them. And they didn't have a Seton Forest Products to send the marginal wood to. So they didn't use it, and the ministry took it away from them. Yeah. And at the time it was 185,000 cubic meters a year license. And since then, 50,000 of that has been given to Lake Babine Nation, and I think 35,000 has been given to Fire Development Corporation. And so there's still a 100,000 meter license out there, and I've been vocal about it, but I just never got any traction getting help to get it. And whenever I did get halfway there, I was told, well, you have to be a First Nations outfit to be awarded a forest license. So yeah, and then the last effort was trying to partner up with WITSAT, like I said, and that got turned down. So
yeah,
and by then we lost so much money, there's no, we don't really have much recourse right now.
Yeah.
Just the last thing for Andy, you know, we have a new government, NDP minority government, that has been elected since October. I know they're trying to deal with the situation. Where do you think it goes from here? Will there be any help? Do you know if any help is available to you at this point?
You know, to be honest, it's a bit late. we needed the help about a year and a half, 2 years ago when I was asking for it, and just didn't get any ear. And when I did approach the ministry, they were, we had disagreements with the ministry over stumpage. They were trying to charge us saw log stumpage for this wood that we were bringing in that nobody else would accept. So that was a fight. And then I kept trying to get that license, and no, everybody just ignored me, go away. So basically, that's what's happening. We're going away. You know, it's unfortunate because there's 25 jobs gone there.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them are First Nation. Most of them are First Nations right out of Whitsett, and they're all looking for work. You know, unemployed now. So, but like I said, there's a fellow looking at us to buy us, and it may or may not go ahead here fairly quickly. Actually, so we'll see what happens. Don't rule it out. It might run again.
That was Andy Thompson, co-owner of Seton Forest Products. We reached out to the office of the Wet'suwet'en for comment. However, they did not respond before this broadcast. We'll bring you more on this story in the coming days. You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.